Hi, this is Dr. Millie Long, co-editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Gastroenterology, and welcome to this podcast. I am thrilled to introduce our guest today, who recently published an interesting paper in the American Journal of Gastroenterology. So I'd like to welcome Shivangini Dugal, who is an internal medicine resident at Texas Tech. Dr. Dugal, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Long. Thank you so much for the opportunity and discussing my study today on this podcast. How are you doing?
I am doing well. We are looking forward to discussing a topic of great interest to our patients, which has to do with social media. And I think many of us in gastroenterology are starting to embrace this as a means of education. But I think one of the things that's nice about your paper is you tried to help to really quantify what kind of education are people getting at, and you know, particularly on TikTok. So the title of your paper is Assessing Gastrointestinal Awareness on TikTok, a Content Analysis of Colorectal Cancer, IBS, and IBD Narratives. So with that, I want to start with what inspired you to do this study?
So I think social media platforms like TikTok in particular are a growing source of public information. TikTok alone has 1.5 billion users, and it keeps growing. Why I chose colorectal cancer, IBS, and IBD? I was doom scrolling one day, like any millennial after work, and I came across a video regarding IBS, and I listened to the whole thing, and I said, this is not correct. And that's why I realized that IBS, IBD, and colorectal cancers, they're one of the most discussed pathologies online. However, they're not that simple. There's a lot of inflammatory pathologies with IBD and neurogut modalities with IBS, and colorectal cancer is the second largest cancer, second most common cause of mortality as malignancy in the United States. So I just chose these three topics and decided to do an analysis to see what I'm going to get out of this study.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think it's nice to have a comparison. Obviously, got kind of a very common disorder, irritable bowel syndrome, obviously something a little bit rarer with inflammatory bowel disease and colorectal cancer. Talk us through the methodology. So you kind of systematically found content on each of these topics. And how did you assess the veracity of the content?
So I used two key search terms per topic. So for colorectal cancer, I used colorectal cancer awareness and colorectal cancer screening. For IBS, I used IBS treatment and IBS remedies. And for IBD, I used IBD flare treatment and IBD treatment as well. And then I let the TikTok's innate algorithm do its own thing. And it usually categorizes videos based on relevance, engagement, and recency. And I chose top 200 videos for colorectal cancer and combined top 200 videos for IBS and IBD. I got 139 videos on IBS and 61 videos on IBD. And the reason IBS and IBD kind of crossed hairs was because they are used interchangeably online, which is, again, not correct. And this is the point that I'm making, that there is a lot of misinformation out there. So that's why those topics were combined.
No, that makes sense. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is one of the first things you did is you looked at who is posting this content. And there was a stark difference in that colorectal cancer really had more physician-based providers kind of posting surrounding awareness, whereas IBD and IBS, it was much more patients and patient experience. Is that right?
Yes. Colorectal cancer, we saw that providers were generally focusing on the importance of colonoscopy as a screening test, which is great because it is the highest sensitivity and highest specificity test that we have out there. And when providers discuss that online, it gives the patient reassurance to actually go and get their colonoscopy done. So that was really reassuring and encouraging to see. And also they went through the procedural details and they described what the procedure is like. So I think that's very comforting for the patient because they don't know what they're going to be in for when they sign up to get a screening colonoscopy. Patients usually discuss what symptoms they had when they were diagnosed with colon cancer. A lot of colon cancer survivors took to TikTok to share their experience and their journey through the diagnosis and treatment and how they're doing after the treatment. And so they were encouraging other people to look out for these symptoms, which was also very heartwarming to see online. For IBS and IBD, the most discussed thing was diet. So for IBS, 89% of the videos were diet. And these were people sharing their own diet. And they mostly said to avoid caffeine as a way to like not trigger their IBS flares. And they also discussed probiotics as the most common dietary supplement to be used in case they have a flare or their symptoms are not getting better, which is against the ACG guideline recommendation because probiotics have not shown any benefits to the patient. And for IBD, it's the most shocking and most concerning was that only 18% of the videos discussed actual biologics and steroids as the treatment for IBD. And all the other videos were personalized diets that worked for IBD patients, which again, I think it's one of the least discussed disease that we have out there, but we should discuss it more often as healthcare providers.
No, I think it's a great point, you know, and so really we were seeing kind of high rates of misinformation that, you know, inflammatory bowel disease could be fully managed by diet with lots of personal stories and personal anecdotes. So I think we as providers need to be aware of the data out there so that we can, you know, appropriately educate our patients. What are your thoughts in regards to next steps for providers other than providing relevant, important, evidence-based, you know, sources for information? I mean, do you think there need to be more providers and, you know, kind of verified information on TikTok itself or other social media platforms?
Yes, I do think so. And I know it's very hard because as providers, we rarely have the time to dwell on social media or discuss these things. But I think as providers, we have to realize that social media is going to keep growing. The main age group that's on there is from 18 to 34 years. That's us and our kids who are going to be getting their content off of it. It's inevitable at this point. So we can either fight the battles at two points. We can either be the forefront and get on social media and say, hey, this is actually beneficial for this kind of disease, or we can fight it after when the patients come to us and then they're discussing something they saw on social media and you're telling them, no, that's not correct. So I think these are the two endpoints where we can deal with the misinformation or any kind of information that's out there on social media. But I think it's better if we get on social media because the reach is going to be more. 1.5 billion people are going to be listening to you instead of the one patient that you tell that, hey, probiotics are not good for IBS.
Absolutely. I think it's always a challenge, the misinformation out there. I treat patients with inflammatory bowel disease, and believe me, I wish that diet alone worked, but it doesn't. And so, you know, obviously we have to kind of get beyond that from an evidence basis. And I think you're right that we do need to have better trusted sources on these sites that allow, you know, including, you know, patient advocates perhaps, but that can provide a more evidence-based approach. You know, in my practice for inflammatory bowel disease, I have found that the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation website is an excellent resource. Certainly the podcasts, they're patient-oriented podcasts from American Journal of Gastroenterology that can be helpful. You know, these often even summarize guidelines for patients, which can be helpful information. Just the idea of no matter what the disease state, directing our patients to kind of a validated source of information that may include social media feeds and the like, I think would be really important. And then, you know, obviously, the more we can do to understand what's out there so that we can kind of combat it ahead of time with our patients. I think your study has helped us to improve awareness of that. What do you think our next steps here? Do you plan further studies in social media, or is it more the information dissemination that you're looking to do next?
I honestly don't know how to answer that question.
Well, I think many of us don't, right? I think that who knows what's coming next with social media, but I think the important thing is getting awareness out there to our patients. You know, we obviously appreciate your publication and helping us to all be aware of these discrepancies in terms of the content so we can be proactive with our patients. And with that, we'll conclude this podcast. For our listeners out there, remember each month we have podcasts with relevant articles from the American Journal of Gastroenterology. And of course, each time a guideline is published, we highlight that as well. So thanks again to our listeners and to Dr. DeGaulle for publishing with American Journal of Gastroenterology.
Thank you so much.